This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And where in the Constitution is there a right to be a jerk?
In this country, people are allowed to be morons. They're allowed to be stupid. They're allowed to think idiotic thoughts.
The allegedly protected right of idiocy, morons, and stupidity principle, invoked there by Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, might be a little more about how rich people can apparently say anything and do most anything in America. Just look at some of the wisdom of Donald Trump or Sheldon Adelson or the Koch brothers' suspicion of global warming. But Donald Sterling crossed some line on stupidity that the NBA is not going to tolerate. It is set to meet tomorrow to determine if the Sterling family must sell the L.A. Clippers. Donald Sterling, you'll remember, gave up ownership to his wife after a leaked tape showed him making racist comments. Howard Pashman is an assistant professor of history at the University of Notre Dame. He's also a fellow at the Center on the Global Legal Profession at Indiana University's Maurer School of Law. Welcome, Howard.
Hi, good to be with you.
So the right to be a moron, I'm not really finding it in the Constitution. I suppose Mark Cuban might be talking about free speech protections here, yes?
I would assume so. I haven't found that right either.
So what is this about? I mean, we're not really talking about, you know, eminent domain. The government isn't taking anybody's property. But what is Cuban's principle here? And how might Sterling actually be protected or have no leg to stand on?
Mr. Cuban's point is that people can say what they want, as you suggest. It's a right of free speech. And whatever they say shouldn't put their right to hold property in peril. People should be able to hold and use and continue to enjoy the benefits of property, regardless of how, I might say, outlandish someone's views are.
But if I were to, you know, create some sort of racially offensive exhibit in my backyard, I mean, the city might have an interest in shutting me down or maybe, you know, kicking me out of the neighborhood, right? Or no?
They might have an interest in doing that, but I'd have a hard time imagining that you could convince all the neighbors that they should do that. And that's what I find so interesting, because there was a time much earlier in American history, particularly during the American Revolution, when unpopular, unpleasant views were the basis for dispossessing people and permanently removing them from a community. And I'm talking about the British Loyalists, who lost all of their property and were either formally banished, that is, through statute, or informally, through the displeasure and aggressive acts of their neighbors, just driven out of town.
I'm wondering if what the NBA is doing here is also related to the old, very ancient and obsolete in many states, chartering of corporations, in the sense that that states chartered all corporations. And if you didn't, you know, live up to some sense of propriety that was determined by the state could revoke your charter and boom, you were out of business.
That's a very good point, particularly since many of those corporations were what was called single purpose entities, which meant they were formed to do a thing. Build a bridge, clear a road, expand a road. And if they didn't do that or did it inappropriately or expanded the scope of their charter, then they would lose it.
So really the question here is going to be how explicit the NBA is in its bylaws about the authority to revoke somebody's ownership of a team versus Donald Sterling's ability to say, hey, I have due process here. You can't confiscate this. And, of course, lurking in the background is the fact that Steve Ballmer is going to hand him $2 billion. So the idea of some sort of community harm here is a little difficult to take.
That's right. The key document is the NBA's operating agreement. So when someone becomes an owner in the NBA, they agree to follow these rules. And if they don't, and if the owners meet certain basic requirements, such as a minimum vote to terminate an owner's control, then I imagine they're within their rights to do that.
Howard Pashman is a visiting assistant professor of history at Notre Dame. He's a fellow at the Center on the Global Legal Profession at Indiana University's School of Law. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.